my girl. All right, that will take care of everything in life. All right, just that girl. All right, that particular one. And for your girls is that guy, right? I was going to preach on something else, and God was just speaking. This is a message that I was going through that I wanted to share with you, although I shared with you, I think last year sometime. I realized that when I found a girl, it doubled my worry. Before, I thought, before I just had to worry about myself, okay? Right, all it's about, okay, me, who cares about me? I mean, I care about me, but, it's like all the worries are about me. But now, after being in a relationship, I thought, it just doubled my worry. Because not only do I have to worry about me, but I have to worry about someone else, all right? Not only I have my own burden, but I have someone else's burden, okay? And I'm sure Suma feels the same way, all right? And so this is how, as I was going through all these things, some of you know, I didn't date much, all right? I just prayed. I said, Lord, I would not date till you bring the girl that you have for me, amen? And God did. And even for you guys, single guys, let me tell you a little bit of advice. Yesterday, what I did, I had James, and Joel at our house. I said, hey, give me some advice how to be a good husband, all right? So they gave me some few, and I'm going to get some more, all right? But I'm giving you how to find a date, all right? Isn't that good? Yes? Everybody ready to hear it? Okay. That's how to find a date, all right? But one of the things I encourage you guys, don't just date around. Okay, now, a lot of you will say, oh, you're just Indian, you know? In India, they just set you up and you're good to go. It doesn't happen here with us. But that's not the way it is. You know, I really believe one of the things that I told you before is that God has a plan for our lives. Amen? And God has picked out for you even before you try to pick someone else. Right? And the only thing is, it's so hard to be patient. I mean, I remember, guys, I was like, sometimes I would be so lonely. And I told you already, like, when I was Gayang and Dustin, they were dating in my house. You know, they will come over every day. Every day they will just hang out at my place all the time. I said, why don't you go somewhere else, I was like, why do you have to be at my place all the time? I mean, Dustin was my roommate, but he just doesn't feel cool. You know, I'm like, they're like in the couch, But praise God, now I understand Dustin, But during that time, one of the things, at that point you feel, man, if I just had someone, it's really so cool, right? And it is cool, all right? But one of the important things is just to pray and wait on God, all right? Pray and wait on God, because that's where you're going to take a look, a lot of different things. But when you pray, and especially finding a life partner, one of the things that I prayed about, I said, Lord, I don't know who I'm going to marry. As a pastor, I didn't want to date any girls from the church. Hey, not just this church, even other churches, right? Because, okay, not GSEM, but if I go to, say, Jubilee or Onuri, he said, hey, your pastor is dating one of my church girls, right? And somebody said, hey, if you ever do that, you're going to make the girls in your church mad. I said, no, that's never going to happen in my church, okay? And so I said, Lord, what am I going to do? I'm just going to stuck single pastor forever. But one thing, I just prayed and prayed and prayed. And, it's wonderful how God works in your life, right? When you wait for God's timing. And, as a pastor, I counsel a lot of couples and I counsel a lot of you, But a lot of us, when we feel, we want to just jump because you're worried. What if I am stuck single all my life, right? What if? And the temptation is just to jump into it, right? And to jump ahead of God. But I'll tell you what. And counseling a lot of people, that's not a good idea, okay? Because I tell people all the time, if you're single, you have hope. When you're married, you have no hope, okay? So it's better to be single, all right? And be married to the person that God has for you, amen? All the married people agree with me, amen? All right. And so I'm not going to preach on marriage and stuff, but one of the things I was thinking is, as soon as, a lot of things we think, once this happens, that takes care of my worry. But actually, in different stages, the responsibilities actually grow. And with that is more sense of responsibility and more sense of, you know, trusting God. And one thing I realized is like, let me go ahead. Let's just be honest here. How many of you would honestly say, all right, just be real honest here, like fear or worry is you struggle with at least sometimes? Okay, raise your hand up high. Don't be ashamed. Raise it up high. Okay, a lot of you, right? Fear and worry is something that most of us all struggle with, right? If you're really honest with ourselves, you know, we are. And actually, it's just not you. As Smithsonian Magazine says, call this age as an age of anxiety, all right? Age of anxiety. Times Magazine said, it is the most prevailing quality of our times. Of all the quality, worry or anxiety is the most prevailing quality. And I'll tell you why. I see junior high, they are stressed out. I said, what are you stressed out about? All right, you have nothing to do, you know? And high schoolers, they are stressed out. Right? Single people, they are stressed out. Married people, they are stressed out. Couples with children are stressed out. Couples with no children are stressed out. Everybody's stressed out. Right? And one thing I've noticed is people who worry, worry all their lives. Okay? Because worry is something, you will always have things that will worry you. Okay, you will never at some point, it's like, you're at this stage, when you get, it's gonna be more, right? So it's really important as Christians to know how to handle our worries, okay? How to handle worry. You know, worry is not just bad for your health. You know, worry is in your mind, but it affects you physically. How? Stress, right? And doctors tell us, and a lot of research tell us, is the problem. The reason, because our body is stressed out. Our body is not supposed to be under stress all the time, okay? And when your body is, you know, why are we afraid? Because we see some kind of danger, all right? Some kind of danger, so our body releases some kind of thing. What do you call that? Endorphin? Adrenaline? Okay, whatever that, you know better, right? And it releases that, but for a while it's okay, right? For a while it's okay, and for that time, actually that thing, adrenaline, is that right? All right, your pastor is not very educated. And, you know, that thing, when it comes out, it's for either to fight or to flight, you know, fight or flight. Is that good? But if it's that stage all the time, and a lot of us, you know, our heart is always like inside, there is this anxiety, all right? And it really affects your body in a bad way. But what it does, it kills the joy out of your life. Okay? Worry. The Bible says, you know, I appreciate it, you know, a while ago about joy, right? A Christian, Jesus said, I have come that you will have life and an abundant life. All right? An abundant life that Jesus talks about is a life full of joy, right? But when we allow these worries to take over, it just kills the joy in our life, because life becomes a burden to you, right? Life is, you know, when you think about it, life is a wonderful gift from God, all right? And you get to live only one time, all right? You're not like a Hindu or a Buddhist who said, you know, you're going to be born, and then if you do good works, then you become like a, you know, born in a king's house, king's palace, or if you're bad, you'll be born as a mosquito, all right? That doesn't happen, right? You just have one life to live. And it is so sad, because, I mean, even I was meeting somebody, and I knew her for a long time, and she's probably in her 60s. And I remember even as a little kid, I said, man, this lady worries a lot. And even now I met her after many years, she still worries. When I was little, she was worried a lot about her children and all the things, you know, a lot of things. And then now, as soon as I get, she's like telling me all her worries, right? So it's something that says to you, but it kills your joy, and life becomes a burden for you. You don't enjoy life. You don't enjoy the kind of life that God wants you to have, okay? Because life becomes a burden. You, every day you get up in the morning, you say, man, your body is stressed out. And, you know, instead of saying, this is the day the Lord has made and I'm going to rejoice and be glad, we just try to, oh, man, one more day to live, right? And that's what devil does. And so what devil does is to get you so focused on your problems, right? And so you lose the bigger picture of why God has placed you where you are. Right? I always tell you that God has brought you, we were born because God has a purpose in our lives. Right? And when you follow that purpose, there is joy. Right? When you are walking in God's purpose and you're focusing on what God wants you to do, doesn't matter where you are, there's joy. Right? Doesn't matter whether you have a big house or a small little house. Doesn't matter if you drive the latest car or like really an old car, right? You'll have this joy and happiness that the Bible talks about, right? But another thing it does, it paralyzes us, okay? You don't move forward. You know, you remember in the parable of the sower, Jesus talked about what? The seed that was thrown into among the thorns, right? The word that was thrown, and what happened? The worries of life choked God's word, or choked the growth. They were growing. But then because of worries, that's what Jesus said, it chokes you. So what happened? If your life is in constant worry, you will not grow much in your Christian life, right? Because you will grow, it sprouts up, but soon you start getting worried, because a lot of you who became Christians recently, you think, oh, once I become Christian, everything is going to get okay, right? And when things don't get okay, it starts choking you, right? And it stunts your spiritual growth, and it doesn't move you forward. And that is the trick of the devil, because he wants to hold you back. He wants to keep you where you are and actually pull you and discourage you and depress you so that he can have control over your life. It makes us very selfish and self-centered. Okay. When you're worried, you don't care. How many of you are worried for other people? Not many of you, okay? Right. Most of us, who are you worried about? About yourself, okay? Sometimes about your friends, some of our pastors, Sam, but mostly about yourself. Okay? It goes on little, pray for somebody, little bit, you know, and then come to yourself. Okay? You go around and pray for, you know, and Lord, I pray for Korea, pray for this, pray for that, and Lord, me. Okay? It comes back to it. You know, it just, all the rest of the prayers is like, you know, just a preface to your prayer. All right? Then the main prayer is, Lord, okay, then now come. Let's get down to business, all right? I took care of all the other stuff that, you know, I have to pray about, you know? But now let's get down to it, you know? This is what I need. This is what I want, Lord. You know? So it makes our prayers selfish. It makes us self-centered, all right? But I'll tell you, I told you before, if you're depressed, you're self-centered, okay? Because whenever you look at yourself, because worries about it, whenever you look at yourself, you'll be worried, okay? You will be worried. If you look at yourself, you will be depressed, okay? Because all the time you're thinking, how am I doing? Okay, how popular am I? You know, how much money do I have? What's going to happen to my future? What's going to happen to my family and my life? You know, who am I going to marry? You know, all these things. Okay? So it just puts you in the center. And what happens is, when you put you in the center, it dethrones God from your life. Okay? And that's a bad place to be in. Okay? When you put yourself in the center and dethrone God, as I told you before, your spiritual life is the center of your being. All right? If your relationship with God is not right, everything else will not be in place. Okay? So a lot of us, we are trying, you know, the way we try to put our life together, we are trying everything to pull it together. You don't have to do that. Just keep the center. And where the center is the center, everything else would fall into place, right? But a lot of us, we are trying to, you know, try to pull things together, somehow trying to do them. But our center, God is not sitting on the throne of our lives, all right? And when that happens, it just takes over and you lose your passion for God. Right? When initially you have so much passion for God and you know you want so much passion to bring other people, but soon you so get wrapped up in your own life, but you don't have time for others. Right? And you say, Lord, me, whatever, take care of me first, you know? And then I'll worry about someone else. Okay? And then it keeps happening. So it just keeps it. And the funny thing is, I was reading this research, and it's like many of our worries are very irrational. Okay? There's Walter Calvert, he did a research, and he said 40% of our worries will never happen. Okay, all that your 40% of you will never happen, that things that you're worried about. Okay, 30% of our worries concern the past. Right, you're worried about your past that you can never change. 30%, that's a lot. Okay, you can never, and that's why I said most people either live in their future or live in their past, while the present keeps moving forward. You know what I'm saying? So you keep worried about your past. Man, all the past regrets, you know, I should have done this, I should have called her, I shouldn't have called her, or like whatever that is, right? And either you're worried about your future. So what devil does is like either to fill us with regrets about our past or to just concern about the future, and we are not faithful where God has put us, right? So we constantly live with that fear and keep going forward. So 30% of our worries concern the past. 12% of our worries are needless worries about your health, right? 10% of our worries are insignificant or petty concerns. 8% of our worries are really legitimate concerns, things that will happen, right? But those things will happen anyway, so no, you know, what's the point in worrying about it, you know? So literally most of the things that you're worried about will not happen or are not important. But what devil does is just to push this huge weight of the possibilities that could happen, all right? Or things that, you know, you get into your mind, and some of you who think a lot, you know, it just gets you down, gets you depressed. And that is really hindering your spiritual, your walk with the Lord, right? Because God wants you to move forward, but devil wants to push you back and depress you, right? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. 6:25. It says, verse 25 says, Jesus says what? Therefore, I tell you, do not worry. Does that help? Jesus, what do you think? I get up in the morning and I want to worry? Nobody gets in the morning and says, all right, today I'm going to worry. I can't wait. No. Right? Some weird people may do that. You know what? But most of us don't do that. You don't get up in the morning and you want to worry. Right? It's just certain things in life. But then why does Jesus say that he commands us not to worry? Right? He said, okay. And, you know, Jesus is actually writing to this people who were under the bondage of the Romans. Right? So, and this Israelites were waiting for a long, the Jewish people were waiting for a long time for the Messiah to come and deliver them. So they say they had a huge agenda for the Messiah. They said, you know, Jesus, the Messiah would come and he would do this. You know, we have this unjust taxes and we are in the bondage. Our children is being, you know, like taught different things and all these things. So as soon as the Messiah would come, he will take care of all these things. Right? So then Jesus comes along and he says, the Messiah, he said, all right, you're the Messiah. This, do this, get rid of the Romans and do that and all that. And Jesus looks at them and they say, what? Do not worry. It's like, it doesn't make sense, right? But what I want to share today, why did Jesus say that? Okay, Jesus, what Jesus, he not only tells us, but he gets underneath and tells us why. And when we follow what Jesus said, follow instruction and the leading of the Holy Spirit, right? It helps us to live the Christian life that God has called us. Actually, Jesus summarizes in verse 34, do not worry about tomorrow, right? So all the worries that you have is not about now, it's about the future, okay? What will happen? What will happen? Anxiety, right? Anxiety is the potential of things happening, not the actual thing, okay? It's just the potential. It all concerns about what will. It's worry about something that we can't control, right? Anxiety is the will to control that we can't control. That's why we get anxious. So tomorrow is something, you know, we all want power, right? You know, one of the psychologists say one of the biggest desire for human will is to have power, okay? So we want to have power to control tomorrow, right? But because we can't control tomorrow, we feel, you know, we all want to be in control. And some of you are control freaks. You always want to be in control, okay? And so when things go out of your control, you feel unstable. All right? When, as long as things are going in your control, you know exactly what's going to happen, you feel safe. Right? But when God comes, as I should kind of shake things up, and certain things that you don't know what's going to happen, that messes you up. Because now you're not in control of tomorrow. And Jesus said, hey, you're not in control of tomorrow. You will never in control of yourself. Right? Who brought you so far? It was me. Okay? So you are always, it's concerned about tomorrow, but it's pointless. And that's why it lets us say, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? She said, okay, even if you worry, can you add, do you have the power to add a single hour to your life? Do you have? No. But Jesus said, I have the power. Right? And what you're trying to do is you want that power. A lot of us are afraid about tomorrow because we know we are not in control. And we feel so unsafe. What is going to happen? What if this happened? What if this? Jesus said, hey, that is not under your control. That is under my control. Right? And that is, as you trust me, then you stop worrying. My brothers and sisters, the reason you worry and I worry is because of lack of trust in God. Okay? If you really believe God says who he is, if you really believe that, that will take the worries in your life. Turn with me, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Right? Just the first verse. And here what Isaiah, what happened, King Uzziah, who was ruling this country for a long time, all of a sudden died. All right? And 6:1, we're just going to read one verse. Isaiah 6:1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. All right? Let's go ahead and read that together. Isaiah 6:1, Shijak, in the year of that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. All right? What happened? Isaiah was really worried. What happened? The king who had, you know, had ruled so far, who was a really good king, all of a sudden died. And Isaiah, as the prophet in the nation, he's like, Lord, what is going to happen? Now everything is going to go crazy. The enemy is going to come and attack us, and we are done. Right? He does a good thing, and that's a good thing to do. When he was worried, where did he go? He went into the house of the Lord. Okay? He went into the house of the Lord. My brothers, that's what we need to do. When you're worried, go into the house of the Lord. All right? That means go in prayer. All right? Go into God's presence. And when he went into God's presence, what happened? Right? What did he see? God showed him a vision of himself. God showed him a vision of the throne room of heaven. Right? There's all chaos. People are crying. You know, they are worried about enemies attacking and everything. And then he went to the house of the Lord, and God gave him a vision of who he is and what's happening on the throne room of heaven. And he said, I saw the Lord seated on a throne. There was a lot of panicking on earth in the country. But in heaven, there's no panicking. God is seated. And seated shows that the king is in control. Right? Things are going crazy around. But angels are not flying around. What's going to happen? God is not going, oh my goodness. Right? Oh my God. You know, like, I don't know what he's going to say. Like, King Uzziah passed away. Nothing takes God by surprise, right? And what happened as Isaiah saw that, and he saw that God is seated on his throne and there's angels surrounding him and worshiping him, he knew that God was in control. And if you read the whole thing, what happened? This guy who came into the house of the Lord like a worried man went out as a missionary. Right? And later, as God called him, he said, look, who shall I go? He said, Lord, I would go. Right? Before he was all thinking about what happens going to happen to me, what's going to happen to my nation. When you understand that God is in control, you're no longer worried about yourself. Because then you can go out and serve the Lord. And that's what Isaiah did. You know, a lot of us, we cannot go. We are not able to be concerned about other people, what's happening in the church, what's happening in our city, what God wants to do, what God's purpose for our lives, because we are so concerned about ourselves. Right? We have very little time to see God's kingdom, to see God's kingdom here in this city. But as Isaiah saw and he saw the Lord is seated, he's in control, that took care of the worry. My brother and sister, let me remind you, God is in control of your life. Somebody say amen. God is in control of your life. Even as I shared, 2 weeks ago about Joseph's life, even when things are going crazy, you need to remind yourself, and I have to remind myself, that God is in control of my life. You know, God is not going in heaven and say, like, man, look at what's happening in JSCM. Or God is not going, look at it happening one in Seoul. God is not going to look at it. God knows it. And God has allowed it. And once you really understand, it's like, man, because when we so much want control for tomorrow and it just fills us with anxiety, when you say, Lord, you are in control. You are God and I'm not. Even if I want to control tomorrow, I cannot. It's not within my power. But when you really give it to the Lord, he said, Lord, I give my control to you because you are in control. And God said, and that's why I talk about surrender, right? I told you, your life begins when you surrender your controls to God. As long as you try to put things together and try to figure out and manipulate things, and it's not going to come. You pull one together and the other goes the other way. You pull one and before you know, you can't do it. And that's why God brings you that point in your life. And my brothers and sisters, every one of us will have to go through that point where you come to him and say, Lord, I've been trying to control my future. I've been trying to control myself. I've been trying to control other people. Lord, my life is falling apart. And I come down, and when you kneel down and surrender, you know, a lot of people ask me, why do people come to God only when they are in a really bad situation of their life? Why do people come to God where everything is falling apart? Like one guy came to you, hey, I know why people become Christians. I said, why? Well, they need something to hold on to, and there's nothing there. Like, why? He was asking me the question, why do happy people don't become? Why do most people become Christians when they're really depressed? Right? Did you know that highest attendance in America was after the 9/11? Right? But I'll tell you why. Before that, when everything is going well, you don't need God, do you? Or we think we don't need God. But then God, in his grace, brings us to that point in our life where we say, Lord, I've been trying to control myself. I've tried, but I try one thing and it goes further away. And things are falling apart. I need your help. And my brothers and sisters, when you come to that point of surrender in your life, that's when life begins for you. As long as you try to pull things together and try to figure it out, God says, I'm waiting. I'm waiting. And God will allow situations in your life that you come to a point where you say, Lord, I can't look to my side. I can't look front and back. The future is not good. The back is and past is not good. The future is scary. All I can do is look up to you. And at that point, God becomes like, okay, now offer yourself to me and surrender. And that's when life begins. So that's why exactly what happened in Isaiah's lives. He went to the house of the Lord. He saw that God is in control. He left the controls and said, Lord, you take over. You take care of this nation. You take care of my life because you are in control. Because you are in control, I can sleep. I don't have to lose sleep. All right? I don't have to spend sleepless nights because I know, Lord, you're in control. So if you're struggling with fear today, if you're struggling with real anxiety, and I know a lot of you are, and all of us are, some ways. Get a vision of who God is. Okay, I told you before, the bigger your God is, the smaller your problems will be. Right? The smaller your vision of God is, the bigger your problems will be. Right? When you understand who God is, and when you understand that he's in control, that takes care of everything in life. And then Jesus goes in verse 25. He said, is life not more important than food and the body more important than clothes? He said, why are you worried? Is life not more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Is it or not? It is, right? In other words, in our modern society, is life not more important than just living in style? Okay? Or having more of everything? Is life more, you know, when you really think about it, I was wondering, like, many of the things that we are so worried about, we won't be even worried about next year, or 5 years, or 10 years. A lot of things when I was worried as a little kid, I said, look at what I was doing, you know? Like, why was I even worried about it? All right, things worked out anyway. You know, I'm still alive and well, right? And then 10 years from now, 20 years from now, imagine eternity. We look back and say, what was I thinking then? So a lot of things that devil focuses you so much, because as I told you before, it just gets you so focused on one little thing that you lose perspective. Right? And that's what devil's play is. So that's why Jesus is saying, is life not more important than this? Is life not more important than just getting a job? Or just finding a guy and a girl? And some of you say, yeah, it is. Right? But the Bible says, no. When you look back in the future, God is going to work things out. God is in control. But Jesus is asking, if life is more important than this, shouldn't you be thinking about things that are of eternal value? If life is more important than just, you know, what shall we eat, what will happen, what will this, things here, If you really believe that, shouldn't you be spending more time thinking about things that are of eternal value? Now, when you're really worried about something, just remind yourself, life is more important than this. Okay? That will take care of your worry. When you're really worried about something and like so focused, step back. Okay? Look at the bigger picture of what God is doing. And say, Lord, I don't understand, but I know life is bigger than this. Okay? Life is more important than this. Right? And I'm not going to waste my days. I'm not going to waste my life worrying about it. Because I know you're in control and you will take care of things anyway. So you're so focused on your needs and your needs alone that it's just you focus on yourself. Verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in the barn, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And later it goes, and why do you worry about clothes? So see how the lilies of the field, they grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into fire, will he not much more clothe you of little faith? What is God saying? God is comparing. If I care for the birds of the air, and if I provide food for them, then you say, hey, God doesn't provide. They go and pick food on their own, right? Who gives them the food? Who programmed them to go and look for food? It's God, right? The birds don't go into a seminar learning to how to go and find food, all right? They don't read books. God just programmed them into there, and God provides for them, right? And God is saying, the birds are not worried, right? The birds are not worried. He said, if God is saying, if I do it, even for these little creatures, right? And for the grasses, if I can clothe them. You know, like you look at the flowers, right? Do you think they look beautiful? You know, sometimes I wear a dress, people go like, well, this color doesn't even match. What were you thinking? Like, tie you like you're totally out of place, right? But you never see flowers that have different colors and you say, man, that doesn't match together. Okay, God is creative, my brothers and sisters. Okay, and God is saying, if I can clothe them so well, don't you think I can clothe you? All right? And God said, like, why are you so worried about it? Now, this doesn't mean that, you know, all right, you know, I shouldn't worry. I don't have to do it. It doesn't mean irresponsible living, okay? All right. Giving controls to the God doesn't mean that, all right, you don't have money, you just sit home. All right, somebody would come and get. And God does that sometimes, all right? It has happened with me when you're really desperate, okay? And you have no other choices, right? But it doesn't mean being irresponsible with your money, being irresponsible with your life. You go and do your best, all right? And do whatever God tells you to follow God and be in it. And then see how God provides for your life. Right? Verse 32 says, for the pagans run after these things. Jesus is saying what? When you worry, who are you acting like? Who are you? Heathens and pagans. Right? Why are they worried about? Why? They have a reason to worry. Okay? Jesus is saying, when you worry, don't be like the pagans. You are like the pagans. Don't be like the pagans because they don't know me. Right? They don't know that I am in control. But you know that I am in control. Why are you acting like a pagan? And that's what it says. I told you, when we worry, we are practical atheists. Okay, at that point, we are practically atheists. We are saying, Lord, you are not powerful enough. You are not strong enough to take care of me. He's saying, let them do it. Because for them, this life is all what they have. Okay? So let them make as much money. Let them do whatever they want. Let them enjoy as much as they want to. Because for them, they have no hope beyond that. But you, my people, you know who I am. You know that I care for you. And I love you. And you are my child. Why do you act like an orphan? Knowing that you are my child. And that I care for you. Let the people who don't know worry about, let them worry about that. But why do you worry? But then he says in verse 33, okay? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Now first he says, don't worry about it, okay? And then he says what? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. My kingdom and my righteousness. He said, don't worry about your past. Don't worry about your future. Don't worry about everything else. What I have, do whatever I have called you. The reason I have placed you in this world is for my glory and for my kingdom. And you do what I have told you to do. Don't try to make yourself great, make me great. Don't live for your glory, live for my glory. Don't seek other people's face, but seek my face. And, you know, I was reading through the book of Daniel. Right? We all have this tendency to make ourselves look great. Right? You know, King Nebuchadnezzar, he had this dream, and you know the whole story about how all of a sudden he saw this dream. He saw this gold statue with the feet of what? Clay, right? And later, if you read the story, I mean, there are a lot of different interpretation and it's told about the future, but I'm just telling what it means. And then he sees a rock comes and strikes the feet, and what happens? It falls down, right? And the rock grows into the whole kingdom, right? That represents the kingdom of God. And I was reading that, I thought, you know, this is what, if you read later, one of his greatest dreams of the King Nebuchadnezzar was to build a huge statue for himself. Okay? That's the reason he was in Babylon, right? To make himself look dazzling, right? All his life. And then when he saw this dream, he was scared. You know, when you read, why was he trying to kill everybody? He's like, you better tell me what it means. I think he knew what it meant. He was trying to make himself look great and look dazzling. But God came to me, hey, no matter how much dazzling you look, how much, you know, great you try to, your feet are of clay. And that's exactly what God tells us. We all, you know, most of us, if you look at, we all are trying to, by the way, you know, we work so much on our looks, we work so much on do this, you know, try to get things to impress others, just to make ourselves look great. But the problem is, no matter how, we don't realize that we are already of gold. We are already of great worth before God. We don't have to make ourselves great. We are great in God, right? And when we try that, God is saying, build your kingdom, build your gold statue, worship yourself, but your feet are that of clay. And sooner or later, God will bring you to the point, and it's like the rock will come and crush the feet. And then we cry. But it says, but seek first his kingdom. And that means, you know, in all your priorities, put God first. Okay? In your family, in your job, in your business, in your obligation, finances, whatever that is. God says, your responsibility is to put me first. When you are among friends, when you have all this, put me first. Okay? When you are out there in the world, in your business, put me first. Okay? Don't try to look yourself great. Don't think what other people will think about me when but yourself, when you share the gospel. Make me great. Put me first. And seek my kingdom, seek my righteousness. Live a holy life, even when other people mock you. And he say, you're old-fashioned. You're not in the 21st century. Live godly life, my brothers and sisters. Seek righteousness. Live. Then we turn around and say, all right, I can do that, but what about me now? Okay? All right, it's good. I've been following God. I'm trying to follow God. You know, I'm doing all these things. But it comes back to me. It's like, Lord, what about my life? I still have to get married. You know, I still need to find a job. I still need to do this. But I like what it says later. What does it say? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things, everything that you're worried about, will be given to you as well. All right, let's go ahead and read that together. And mark that. And let it, put it that in front of your mirror or wherever you look most. All right? And so let's all go ahead and read that. Shijak, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. God says, hey, you take care of my business, I'll take care of your business. How's that for a deal? Good, right? He said, you're so worried about You're trying to put your life together and you can't do it? I'll make it easy for you. You just follow me, seek my face and my kingdom, and all these things that you're worried about, that's my responsibility. You're trying to seek, you know, when you try to seek it, you can't find it. Okay? But when you seek God's kingdom, keep your focus right, all these things will naturally follow you. And the problem is we turn around and start chasing those things, and those things keep running away. Right? God says, don't do that. You seek me, keep following me, and all these things, all your concerns, I'm your God, I'm your Father, I will provide for you. Okay? And I know that already. I already have the store. But you need to learn the lessons. Okay? Because if you don't put the center, the first thing that first, everything will be messed up in your life. But God says, I can't bless you unless you do that. Right? God has certain principles that God works in. But my brother says, as you put God's kingdom first, as you see God, you will never be at the end of your life and say, man, I wasted my life. I promise you. If you put God first, even in difficult situations, even when you lose your respect, even when you lose a lot of money, even if you lose whatever that is, when you put God first, I promise, on the authority of God's word, you would not look back and say, man, I was faithful, God was not faithful to me. That will never happen. I think it's the other way. When we just live our own life, we look back, man, I wish I had lived differently. I wish I had done that. And those regrets are hard. When you look back and say, man, you know, you have lived all of your life for your own, and you have all these things, but you didn't keep the first thing first, and you didn't have the what's important in life. I'll tell you what. When we are older, we're not going to, you know, when you're about to die and the end of your life, you're not going to care about the, me and Suma, we were talking. I said, well, you know, what's the point in having a huge house? I see a lot of people, some of the people that I know, they work like crazy. I know this lady, she works 16 hours. I mean, she's a nurse, but she makes more than $150,000, right? And I was like, so they have this big house and everything. You know, I'm not, but every time they're so busy. No time for children, not time for all these things. But I say, at the end of your life, you will realize, man, why, even if I have all these things, I have missed what's important in life. I'm not saying working hard is bad or working that loud, but if you're so focused on seeking those things and pursuing those things that you're ignoring God, you're ignoring God's kingdom and you're ignoring God's purpose for your life, my brother says, at the end, it's not worth it. It's not. That's why the Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? You can gain the whole kingdom and have all the whole power. And that's why God said, Nebuchadnezzar, you know, you have all this power. But what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul? It's useless. It's not worth it. And what devil does, my brother and sister, is so focused on these little things that we don't look forward to what God has for us. That's what the Bible says. Seek me, seek my kingdom. I'm just going to give you a few things. If you're worried today, just write it down. First thing you should just say is give your worries to the Lord. All right? Philippians 4:6 said, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. All right. Do not be anxious about anything. I like it said. Do not be anxious about anything, but everything. Give it to God in prayer. Don't think, man, these are like small little things. You know, God has a whole universe to run. You know, why should I just come with my little things? No. Everything, give it to God. A lot of you are worried about everything. You know, let me ask you. Have you prayed about it? Are you praying consistently for it? As I told you before, the Bible says, Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. Okay? Are you just worrying about it or have you given it to the Lord? The Bible says, cast your burdens on the Lord for he cares on you. Right? When you cast it on the Lord, that's why I say prayer and worry doesn't go together. Okay? Faith and worry doesn't go together. Right? When you cast on the Lord, you don't have that burden. A lot of us say, Lord, we cast, but we still carry those burdens. And I say, cast on the Lord. And the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Okay? He is my shepherd. I have a shepherd who cares for me. I'm dumb, he is smart. I'm poor, he is rich. Okay? He can provide. Second thing, it says, but in everything by prayer and prayer, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Learn to be thankful. I told you before, a lot of things the devil does, it just gets a focus. We forget all the blessings that God has already blessed us with. Right? That's why David said in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Right? So when you're really depressed and discouraged, all you need to do, just write down all the things that God has done. And you know, in 103 has a whole list itself, and you can add to it. Think about all the things that God has blessed you with, and then you're so worried about one thing. And when you remember, as I told you, one of the problems is what? We have spiritual amnesia, right? God did so many things in Israelites' life, but they kept forgetting. Even when they came at that point, again, God said, don't you remember? I just fed you. You were thirsty. I gave you water. But then they come back and face the same situation and start grumbling and mumbling and crying out. God said, when will you learn? And that's why they kept going around the mountain, right? For how long? How long? How long? Man, somebody read your Bible. Somebody say. 40 years. There you go. Speak up. All right? 40 years. Okay. And somebody say that it takes only 11 to 40 days to go there. Because they were not willing to learn the lesson. They went around and around and around. And finally God said, okay, you learned the lessons. Enough around the mountains. Okay, now you can go into the promised land. And some of us, because we don't trust God, we don't learn the lessons, we're just going around the mountains. God said, hey, one more round. Two more rounds. He said, Lord, how long? Learn your lessons. Go to your promised land. Right? But because we keep forgetting and forgetting, and God says, no, you have not learned it. That's why Moses told that, hey, once you go into the promised land, you will forget me. That's why learn your lessons now. And that's why God allows difficult situations. And that's why, you know, God told the Israelites, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. Right? You shall not just live by bread, not about things, these things. That's not the life. You will live on my promises. And it's my promises that will carry you through and carry you to the promised land. But you, because you don't trust me and forget, you keep going around and around and around. So live with a thanksgiving heart. Last thing, verse 34 says, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Live one day at a time. My brothers and sisters, that's the way to live your Christian life. Live one day at a time. God has not promised anything for tomorrow, and he has, but you don't know about tomorrow, but he's taking care of you today. Don't get stuck in your past and your future, and don't miss this wonderful life that God has given you. Be faithful in serving in this church. Be faithful in seeking God. Be faithful in leading a life of holiness. Be faithful in sharing your gospel. Be faithful at your work. Do whatever God has called you. Follow his purpose today and leave tomorrow to the Lord, because you have no control over it. Amen? I just want to give this prayer that I want all of us to pray together. It's like, if you have it, just write it down. And I would ask, put it in a place where you will see it. Okay, put it in a place where you'll see it, and let this be your prayer. He said, Heavenly Father, focus my concerns on the things that concerns you. Right? In other words, help me to seek your kingdom. Heavenly Father, focus my concerns on the things that concerns you. Convict me when I worry about the things that you have already taken care of. Lord, convict me when I worry about the things you have already taken care of. Help me recognize opportunity to seek your kingdom first. Help me to see, Lord, how I can seek your kingdom. My brother and sister, I know your list is long. If I tell you all the things that you're worried about, the list will go wrong. Long. Your life is full of so worries that you have no space for anything else. But what God wants you to do today is laid at the feet of Jesus. Okay? Come before God and say, Lord, I'm wrapping my whole life around me. If I ask you, what did you all that you think about last week? Just look at you last week. What were you thinking about? What was something that was really bothering you or consuming you? What were you thinking about the whole week? Was it just about yourself and your problems? Or were you had a bigger concern, bigger picture? Even if you build a big kingdom, it will come down, right? But the book of Daniel said this small rock, the kingdom just became bigger and covered the whole land. And he says this God's kingdom will live forever and ever and ever. You can invest your life on this making your own kingdom that won't last. Or you can invest your life in the kingdom of God that will last forever. The choice is yours and mine. Let's all stand up. I want all of you to close your eyes. This is just a time between you and God.